Will a new president in Nigeria solve old problems? Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. Celebrations there from supporters of the APC ruling party in Nigeria as their candidate Bola Tinubu has been announced as the winner in the country's presidential election. Opposition parties have called for the poll to be rerun, alleging the results have been manipulated, partly through the slow counting of votes. Tinubu has called on his rivals and the nation to unite to build the country. The BBC's Peter Akwoche is in Abuja, the capital of Nigeria. He has more on Mr. Tinubu and the challenges he faces.
Mr. Tinubu is a two-time governor of Lagos State, Nigeria's commercial hub. He's an accountant. He's credited by many of his supporters with redeveloping Lagos and turning it into a modern city. And in fact, he was last governor there in 2007, but every governor since he left office has had to be endorsed by Mr. Tinubu. So he's seen as Mr. Lagos. He's seen as a transformative businessman. He's a very, very wealthy man. His detractors would say he lacks transparency. They don't know where his money comes from. I interviewed him at Chatham House sometime in late November, early December, where he said, listen, I inherited a lot of property from my father, and you know, and I turned my father's business around. A lot of people also doubting his health status, saying that he doesn't look fit enough to rule a country that is reeling from insecurity, a cost of living crisis, as well as a chronic cash flow. I mean, I've been here now for nearly 2 weeks and I've barely seen a naira note. You know, Nigeria is now almost a cashless society because nobody has any cash.
BBC's Peter Akwoche there referring to the ongoing cash shortages after the launch of new notes. Now, let's do the numbers. China's manufacturing sector expanded at its fastest pace in more than a decade in February, according to the National Bureau of Statistics. It's an early indicator of recovery across Chinese economy and it's pushed up stocks in Asia and Europe. And fintech firm Revolut posted profits for the first time. Now to Sri Lanka, where a national strike was due to take place today as the economic situation worsens. But the government has told some sectors, which they consider essential, that if they do take industrial action, they will lose their jobs. These include airport, port and railway operations and the transport of food, drink or fuel and banking. With us now is Suraj Pathirana, freelance journalist reporting from Colombo, the capital of Sri Lanka. Hello, Suraj.
Hi.
Suraj, tell us what groups were supposed to be on strike today.
Several sections of the trade sector workers are on strike, but in the sense not on general strike. And what you hear now, it is in front of the ports authority in the Sri Lankan capital, Colombo. Hundreds of people have come out against the recently announced tax increase.
So there's been a ban on a lot of workers going on strike, but not everybody. Who's out today?
This is the Sri Lanka Post Authority, and health sector is also on a go slow strike. But I heard from schools are kind of running, but nothing is working perfectly. Nothing is working 100%.
Sri Lanka has had a lot of economic problems lately. It led to the presidential palace being stormed, a lot of political resignations. Has anything improved there since then?
Nothing has been improved in Sri Lanka. People are suffering at the moment. People are reducing their meals 3 into 2. And also I hear about children, malnourished children. So the situation is getting worse and worse.
Suraj Pathirana, freelance journalist reporting from the capital of Sri Lanka, Colombo. Thank you for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you.
Now, you might be surprised to hear that until the end of April, 18 to 23-year-olds in Berlin are being paid to go out again. Well, have a listen to this. Berlin. It's been dubbed as the party capital of Europe, packed with ultra-cool venues and some of the most famous clubs in the world that never close. Why, then, is Berlin having to entice young people to come back into the city? Ah, that's better. Berlin's Senate Department for Culture and Europe has been giving out youth culture cards, or Jugendkulturkarte, for youths aged between 18 and 23. The card is a 50 euro credit, the equivalent of $53, to use in 200 venues across the city, including nightclubs and theatres. And the reason for this money drop is to get a generation that were stuck at home for 2 years to get in the habit of going out. Schwutz is Germany's oldest queer club, and it's accepting these cards. Marcel Weber is the club's general manager and chairperson of the club commission in Berlin.
Big thing is going to happen at the club.
He says that since Schwutz fully reopened in March last year, it took a while to get back the numbers coming through the doors.
The war was beginning in Ukraine, so it was difficult to start with partying again. And we was searching a lot of staff because we lost a lot of them during Corona. November last year, we are fully back on the track with full program and also enough people who work with us.
When the clubbers came back, Marcel noticed a change.
A lot of former customers were gone and a lot of new people were coming into Schwutz first time, and they were a little bit insecure because it's not this regular transfer you have between older clubbers and younger clubbers. It was missing 2 years.
The youth card can be used up until the end of April, and it's hoped that it would give a financial boost to venues like Schwutz. But Marcel said it's not just good for the club. Queer clubs in particular can be something of a community for younger LGBTQ plus people.
I think it's really important to have this kind of support. The increasing prices here for the rent and for everything, then maybe they don't have to decide, do I go to buy my grocery or do I go to a club?
Marcel also says that the card is a nice way to give back to a generation of people who were deprived from their first club night, their first concert, or even their first show over the pandemic. Well, that's one way to wake up. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to James Graham for producing, Jack McInnell on tech, and I'm Liana Byrne. Thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.